Blog Talk Radio.
Are listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-host, Steve and Stacy J. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to encourage dialogue across ages, genders, sexual orientation, religious backgrounds, and sex. So feel free to join in the discussion. We want to know what you think.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. So hopefully you guys are able to get in a few seconds ago. Maybe you may have had some challenges, but we're back, and I think that we have a topic that we are looking forward to discussing today, and hopefully we'll get some feedback to our listeners as well. So as always, I would like to introduce my co-host, Steve. Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back as well, Dr. Guy. We've been off a little while, but I really think that this will have the listeners excited and you and I at odds.
Most likely, I expect that we will definitely be at odds about this topic. So we are going to go ahead and jump right into our topic for today. And today we're going to be discussing the gender pay gap. And for the most part, your thoughts are, are we doing better in this area? And my stance on it is, why are women still getting paid less? So statistically, because you know I like to go to the statistics, statistically, we do know that overall, women are doing better in the workforce as it relates to pay. But there still is a gap in the median salaries between women, men, and even more so specifically women of color. And so clearly I have my thoughts about that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about what continues to create this disparity and the gap between women and men. But you have a different take on this topic than I do. So go ahead and share with our listeners what your take on this is.
Well, originally, I think what happened was you and I were discussing the policies in Iceland relative to some of these issues. I think that what we kind of need to look at is that you know, there's a difference between men and women, and it just depends on what job you're talking about a lot of times. They are, and I know women don't like to hear this, there are some jobs that men do better than women, and they're going to be paid higher because of that. And also, if we even just look at a total compensation package for a woman versus a man, because of the healthcare aspect, and I've done healthcare plans for men and women, there's a tradition, I mean, a significant difference between what you'll pay for a female employee and a male employee. Although the compensation may not look the same salary-wise, sometimes the compensation is the same for the line item for the total employee if we talk about salary as well as healthcare and benefits. So it may not always have the same salary, but the compensation may be similar.
So out of the I'm going to speak to the various types of occupations because you brought that up. But there are over 100-plus countries, right? And so the United States is ranked 49 in comparison to closing in on the gap. And so I think that that's still doing poorly out of 100-plus countries. I know your take on it is 49th place isn't that bad. So... when we talk about, as you said, occupations, you believe that there are just certain things that men do better than women. One, I disagree with that. But there are at least 10 occupations that studies have shown where women are paid less than men. And those occupations include, number one, financial managers. So men are paid $100,000, whereas women, same position, same job description, they're paid $65,000. So the pay ratio for that particular job is 65%. Now, see, there's no physical manual labor involved in being a financial manager, right? And I know that you'll say physically men are stronger than women. I get that, but that's a job that doesn't require strength. So what's the rationale for paying men in the same position as a financial manager considerably $40,000 more?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up that example. It depends on what type of financial management you're talking about. If you're talking about at a branch, that's a little different than a like a certified financial planner who's going to have to deal with someone who is the head of a household. And if we look at just traditionally the demographics of the United States, those are going to be baby boomers, and generally those are going to be men. And that's not something that that generation embraces, is discussing their finances with a woman. So there are different scenarios and situations where I can understand how we've arrived at these places. All of it is not necessarily because of physical labor, but there are going to be some other factors and circumstances that need to be taken in consideration.
Well, let me give you the top 10 occupations for the most part that they are showing that women are collectively paid less. So physicians and surgeons, men are grossing about $243,000. Women are at about $171,000, showing about a 71% pay ratio difference. Accountants and auditors, men are at $77,000. Women are at $60,000, 78% pay ratio. First line of supervisors for retail sales workers. In this particular category, men are paid more, $47,000, to women, $35,000. Yet 74% pay ratio. Registered nurses, men are paid $71,000 in comparison to women being paid $65,000. There's a 92% pay ratio. Marketing and sales managers, men are paid $100,000 where women are grossing $71,000, 71% pay ratio. Lawyers, men $140,000, women $106,000 with a pay ratio of 76%. Chief executives, men are grossing about $148,000, where women are at $111,000, 75% pay ratio. Medical and health service managers, men are at $87,000, women are at $67,000, a 77% pay ratio. And then the last one, education and administrators. Men are at $83,000, where women are being paid $64,000 for a pay ratio of 78% ratio. none of those occupations require physical labor. But yet men are all paid 20% and higher in their salaries, in their median salaries. So you said that there's a rationale that you believe and support why there is a difference. So I'm listening. What would you suggest that is?
Oh, well, in that case, I think that, you know, the predominant factor is going to be due to the women who may not necessarily have the same level of experience due to raising families. I still think there are some gatekeepers in place because of that.
Okay, so even with that being said, that's one of the biases, right? That let's say these women are just as qualified, that they have the same years of experience, their degrees are yet the same, but in those situations, women are still paid less, and one of those reasons is the bias of companies because they do believe that women are going to be more costly as a result of them potentially having kids and taking time off as a result of that. So that's one of the reasons why, but that's bias.
Well, while I appreciate the vigor of your argument, one thing we have to kind of look at from a corporate standpoint is corporations will always do what's in their best interest. What can feel like the right thing is not necessarily what corporations are going to do because they're ultimately concerned about their profit. So that's not something you can really control or contribute to.
Sure. I hear you that companies are definitely out for their best interest. My issue is that definitely we have seen some progress in the last, let's say, 40 years. We understand that the trends show statistically from 1960 until now that women have definitely made strides in the salaries that they are earning. But yet still, there's this glass ceiling that women who are, again, I'll speak to the fact that they are just as qualified, same years of experience, but they're paid considerably less than a lot of these job positions that I just mentioned. And so, yes, companies want to do what's in best favor for them, but you're expecting the woman to work just as hard as your male counterpart in the same position, but you don't want to pay her the same salary. I'm confused about that.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I think if you look how long women have actually been in the workforce, I think for the U.S. to be at number 40 is pretty good.
You honestly believe that that's good?
Well, if we look at just how long women have been working, Tanisha, it's only been, you know, traditionally since, you know, the 1950s. And then after that, there was an expansion. So, yeah, definitely.
I definitely agree with that. It's been a short amount of time. I understand that. But this is, to me, still archaic that you're expecting. Okay, so you and I always have these conversations about what's fair and not, and you will say life isn't fair. I get that. So if you are going to give a male and a female the same job title, right, but you're going to pay the female considerably less, then shouldn't she do considerably less work than her male counterpart if she's getting paid less?
Well, ultimately, you know, my thing relative to the whole conversation is, you know, you can't go to somebody's house and expect them to treat you fairly. So if you're going to a corporation, then you have to be expected to be treated how they treat people in their corporate environment. If you want to create your own situation and income, then that's something totally different. So to me, that's a totally different conversation. I don't think you can go in and demand me to do something for you. You can ask, but that doesn't give you any rights and privileges. So that's how I feel about the whole corporate environment. You can go in and ask, but they're not obligated to do anything.
Well, I mean, obviously, this isn't just, you know, corporate. This is across the board. In most professions, men are just paid considerably higher than women. And so when you say you can't just go in and ask, in fact, that's one of the reasons why some people support men getting paid more, because men are better able to negotiate salaries than women are. So because of that, they're negotiating these higher salaries that, as you're saying, companies, you know, are going to pay what they want to pay. companies decide to pay them, even though, again, they may be just as qualified as the female, as his female counterpart, but because she didn't negotiate a higher salary, some reports are saying that's why she didn't get it.
So is the problem the actual corporation, or is it their lack of negotiation skills on the female's part? Like, there are a lot of factors that could go into this. I mean, I don't think that you can just come in and expect to be paid at a certain level because that's what the person previous to you might be paid. Maybe it's that they may lack those skills that you talk about to negotiate those payments.
True. I'm not saying that that's the part of the employer because the female isn't negotiating her salary, but I'm sure there are instances where women are negotiating for higher salaries and yet they're still not getting them. And so even outside of corporate, just overall in 2019, women earned 70 cents for every dollar earned by men. 70 cents for every dollar earned by a man. So we're not talking about just a woman's inability to negotiate. We're talking about a systemic problem that, again, the United States as a whole still doesn't value women's worth. And I get that this whole feminine movement really changed the dynamics of how women were perceived and entered in the workforce, and yet men still have a problem with that. And so you and I talk about these issues all the time. I think that this has more to do with men's insecurity with women just being smarter in some instances and more competent and choosing to pay them less because they can. That wasn't a joke. I was serious.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I'm laughing. I mean, I think that what, you know, we're neglecting to address here is just the corporation of the United States of America. It has been built on free labor and immigrant labor and taking advantage of, over whatever group it could be, whether it was the Native Americans, the Irish, the Chinese, of course, the African Americans. It's just systemic to what America does. It's not women specifically. This is just the way America's been built. Now, if, you know, you want to point out that it's women's turn now, that's fine. But I would need to see some more examples because I'm not aware in, you know, my career at this point where women have been paid significantly less, you know, than I was at the times that I've been employed at different stations in my life. So
I just gave you the statistics, like in 10 different occupations across the board where women.
Well, you gave me some general statistics.
Yes.
I need to see that in a specific case. I have not been aware of these things when I have worked and had women as counterparts.
Well,
the reasons why I may have been paid more may have been a location. It may have been I had more experience. It may have been any number of factors, but just to paint everything with a broad stroke is kind of difficult for me to digest, and I can't really address it in a broad stroke manner.
So, again, I'm only speaking to a whole, right? Like, if I went off of my own personal experience, there are definitely some times where I know I was paid more than my male counterpart, but there are some other times where I also know that I was paid less than a male counterpart, and obviously, I'm in higher education, and I know that I was more qualified. I had more years of experience, and yet this male was paid more. So I'm not speaking just on my own experience, but I am speaking to what the statistics say. And so if you guys are just joining us, because, you know, I was about to go on a roll, but I do want to remind our listeners what our topic is today. So today we are discussing the gender pay gap and why women are still getting paid less than men. So if you have any thoughts, if you want to chime in this conversation, please feel free to do so. If you are listening online and you want to join in the conversation, our call-in number is 914-205-5902. So back to what I was saying, Steve, because you said you just need more data that supports that the fact that women are getting paid considerably less than men in some occupations. I guess my question is for you, because you feel like we've made tremendous progress, which we have, I almost feel like your stance is, what's the complaint? Like, why are women complaining? We've made so much progress, kind of take it as is. Is that what I'm hearing, or my perception is just wrong?
I mean, I think it's 50-50. Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, and ultimately, as we go back to just the corporate model, you know, it's one thing to talk about it, but I don't see anything that can be done specifically to change the corporate model. We just have to look at what those factors are and address them. And that's why I wanted to talk about it more on a case-by-case scenario.
Okay. So because, again, we're just talking about this gap between women, we also realize that there is a gap between minority or ethnic groups and men as well. So overall, women get paid 79 cents to the dollar of every dollar for white men of what they earn. But minority women get paid 74% of every dollar a white man earns. So there's an even lower pay scale for women of color. So yes, Rome wasn't built in a day, but in 2019, definitely there's more leverage that can be happening to move us closer to closing in on this gap, and yet it's not happening. And I'm sure it's not happening because white men don't want that to happen. But my issue is, as a minority woman, and the thought of I'm doing the same job that a white man might be doing, but I just don't get paid the same because we just not there yet.
Well, once again, I say when you're dealing in that corporate model, I hate to throw everything on Caucasian males, but it's more
it
the corporate
It is
thing.
On Caucasian males. They're the dominant. They're still the dominant. Like, we can't throw it on nobody else. Ain't nobody else in control to set these tones. So who else would it be?
It's not Caucasian males. It's just the American capitalist environment. You can't throw that on Caucasian males.
Which is built
males.
Off of Caucasian men.
Right, but you still can't charge the Caucasian male that you see walking down the street with they are the oppressor. Like, it's just a capitalist environment that America
built
is built on.
By white men.
Yes, but it's not the white man that's doing it. It's the corporate environment. So what you're saying is for every company that does have a black CEO or a female CEO, they're not participating in what you're talking about. It is just the corporate structure. You know, Ken Chenault was the CEO at American Express, and he's black. I believe the CEO at Yahoo is a woman. You know, there are a lot of different people in places where these things will be going on that you're speaking of, but it's not white men. It's just corporate America. Now, if you want to choose to opt out of corporate America and make your own living, that's fine. But once again, when you go into a corporate America and you enter under their terms, you can't force them to change the terms.
What do you mean you can't force them to change?
If you are aware that I'm cooking, you know, spaghetti and you don't like pasta and you still choose to come, then it's not really my fault that you don't like the pasta because you chose to come to my house when I was cooking. So if you're going to participate in the corporate environment, then you need to be aware and cognizant of these are some of the things you're going to face because of the American capitalist structure is built on taking advantage of people and free labor to the best of the ability of the corporation. So whereas you can ask, like I said previously, it's not going to get you anything, you know, or any entitlements or set-asides or things of that nature. You know, the only thing that I would recommend for those people that have a problem with these pay scales is to start your own business and corporation, and then you'll be able to determine what you're paid, but you can't force anybody to pay you anything.
Well, I do believe that that's one of the reasons why women are leading the numbers in entrepreneurship, because the only way to control their own wealth is to create it. Because unfortunately, there still is the glass ceiling. There still is the pay gap when you're just as qualified and you're doing the same work, if not more work, because you're trying to, as you say, climb the corporate ladder. So they're really doing that plus some and not getting payment for that. So, yeah, I think women have already made that decision that for them to feel like they are getting paid what their worth is, they're seeking entrepreneurship. And so now they're, you know, the CEOs of their own companies, and really able to control their own wealth in that area. But not all women want to be entrepreneurs. And so, you know, that becomes another task in and of itself because it's a different model, right? And so you and I definitely talk about the business world all the time. And I remember 2007, I wanted to start my own private practice, but yet I went back and forth for months just toiling with the idea of, should I start my own practice? I want to start my own practice. I know the only way I can control really my own destiny is by starting my own practice. And so even for me, I knew that entrepreneurship was something that I wanted to do, but yet there was, like I said, there was weeks of hesitancy before launching and doing it. And I remember going to my parents and saying, so what do you think? And my dad is the true entrepreneur, and I think that's where, for me, it started about entrepreneurship, was hearing it from my father. But there are not a lot of individuals, maybe women, who want to take the entrepreneur route, right? Maybe that's not something they want to do. And so they do want to work in corporate or in their own disciplines that they're in. So they just have to accept not getting paid equally?
Yes. I mean, if we liken it to slavery, you had the free man who was able to earn his own living according to how he wanted to. You had the slaves. You had indentured servants. So actually working for a corporation is a form of indentured servitude. The only true free people are the entrepreneurs in today's society. And those other people are, you know, whether they admit it or not, indentured servants or by this generation a slave. You know, I call it picking the digital cotton.
Picking the digital cotton. I'm letting that sit and process with me for a minute. Okay. It's still...
You know, you don't have a whip anymore. What you have is a write-up. You don't have an overseer. You got the HR department. You know, there are things that are, you know, pretty much metaphors for the same institution that was going on back then. It's just, are you able to identify and look at it? But it's the same thing.
Okay.
So the only people that are truly free are the people that are making their own money and independent.
So I know that you said that this takes time, right? Rome wasn't built in a day. And so earlier we talked about the United States being 49 and closing in on the gender gap. And so currently, Iceland has been considered the number one country to close in on their gender gap. And clearly, they're working in the same time frame that we're working in here in the United States, but they've made some tremendous strides. And so they've had a female president. So they've really changed their government, right? And one of the things that they have made is that their aim is to close the gender gap in Iceland by 2022. And in 2018, they made it unequal pay, or in Iceland, they made unequal pay for equal work illegal. Like, they literally made it a law to say that this is something that you're not going to do. They have also given men the same amount of maternity leave that women receive, so that women now have an option if they're going to choose to stay at home and be the caregiver for their child, or if their husbands are going to stay at home. And just like women are able to take maternity leave and then go back to their jobs, now men have the option of doing the same thing, but yet women don't have to take the time off, and so women can stay in their positions. Those were things that changed the game for Iceland. Again, they're closing in on that gender gap. So to say that we haven't done it in the United States because we don't have the time, well, Iceland is working off of the same time frame that we have, but yet they're making better strides of doing it. So what
right.
Do you
think? Well, obviously, because Iceland doesn't have the large corporate base that America has. Like, it's the same thing. And we talk about the population as well. So, you know, we don't have the same issues in Iceland from an immigration standpoint, population standpoint, corporate structure standpoint. You know, it is easier for a smaller boat to turn than an aircraft carrier or cruise ship. Not saying that even that America wants to change. So you know, like I said, the solution for this is to create your own situation. You know, I can't expect corporate entities not to act in their own best interest. And what you're saying is you're trying to get corporate entities to act against their own best interest, which they're not going to do.
No, I'm not trying to get them to act against their own best interest, because, again, if different policies were implemented and put into place, it doesn't necessarily have to be a lose for corporations. So it is the assumption that men, I'm going to say the assumption that men have, that women are going to choose to have families over their careers. Now, grant you, there are some women who are going to want to have both, which is their right, and they should be entitled to do it, to doing that. But because they're the ones who carry the children and give birth to the children, they are penalized as it relates to their careers, and men aren't. And so that part just doesn't make sense. Again, we're talking about women and men who are equally trained, same amount of credentials, years of experience, and yet companies are going to say, well, I'm going to pay you $60,000, but I'm going to pay your male counterpart $90,000. Doing the same job, just because I think at some point you're going to choose to have a child, and that's going to, cause problems to my company for whatever reason, because you're out. And as a result of that, I'm just not going to take the risk, and I'm going to continue to pay you at this particular amount. So women get penalized for having children, which I think creates this inner struggle for some women who are enjoying their careers but do want to have kids, because they do fear that they're going to be penalized as a result of that. Or, you know, not be able to go back to their job after coming off of maternity leave, or just a fear of maintaining their job while they're out. And so I think that these are struggles and challenges that obviously as a man, Steve, you don't think about, because you don't have to think about and it doesn't bother you. But as a woman, those are major struggles that several women deal with. And I think we have to be more cognizant of how to address that, because as you say, this is a system that corporate America built, but with any system that has been built, it can be changed.
Well, once again, I disagree. I'm quite aware, because I have a lot of female friends, and I have these conversations, have been having these conversations for probably well over a decade. And like I repeated previously, you know, if these are things you're concerned about in the corporate model, then you need to opt out of the corporate model.
But they don't want to opt out of the corporate model. So you make them want to be.
Those are the things that, you know, come with the corporate model. Like, I might want to have a picnic, but I have to understand there will be ants and mosquitoes there. So, you know, to go and eradicate all the mosquitoes because I want to have a picnic is asinine, as well as these things that we're discussing today relative to the corporate model. You know, if you want to control your fate and your destiny, create something in which it empowers you to do so. But when you go into somebody else's table, you have to eat what they're serving. So this is basically, you know, the problem that at least I see is, you know, you're going to someone else's table and trying to change the menu of what the chef has ordered. You know,
we've been doing that for the last 40 years. That's why the gap has gotten smaller. It hasn't gone away, but the gap has gotten smaller for that very reason, that women have gone to the table and said, no, I don't want to eat what you're cooking. I want something else different.
Right. Well, but until there is some type of economic pressure that's exerted, you're not going to get any changes. And as we've had these conversations, you know, I haven't seen any economic pressure being exerted. If we look at, you know, the civil rights movement, a lot of that was due to the economic pressure put on the corporate system, whether it was the buses or, you know, people not going to work, or those things were actually what changed things. And you talked about, you know, corporations changing the laws. Well, who changes the laws? Corporations who lobby to change the laws. You know, one of the reasons why we have so many alternate lifestyle choices is there are a lot of alternate lifestyle CEOs, you know, who are gay or lesbian. So those are why, that's why some of those things have been changed. So until you get the women who have created their own businesses who are able to lobby and change those things, which is kind of what I'm discussing, then nothing's going to change.
Well, I don't think that it's not going to change. I do think that it's a continual change, which is why we have to continually have these discussions. Because, yes, we are considerably better than we were 40, 50 years ago. I think every woman will say that, right? But we're not where we can get to say, oh, I'm just going to kick back and relax because, you know, we've arrived. That has not happened. Again, there's still that glass ceiling for women that I believe as a whole, whether you're a minority woman, a woman of color or not, that this should be a pressing issue. And as you say, that women should be fighting to be able to get paid equally for doing the same job. And so I don't think it's that we've stopped. I just think that we have to continue this conversation, but continue to be making strides to put ourselves in positions that we can be policymakers and change policies. And so maybe that's the process that we're seeing. And I'm not even going to say maybe. Clearly, that's the process that we're seeing. If we look at the freshmen in the new Democratic Party, we have seen now more women than ever that were elected in 2018. So those changes are happening. Grant you, they're not happening as quickly as I believe as women we would like to see them. But I do think the very thing that you're saying, Steve, is taking place. What I also think as a result is that I don't think men are going to be happy with it, unfortunately. I mean, I don't care, but I do believe that this is going to stir up issues for men, and as a result, men are going to try to put things in place to prevent this from happening, from this gap getting smaller and smaller. At least that's my thought.
Well, I mean, I agree that, but it may necessarily be, you know, and I go back to the same thing. It's not a man thing. It's a corporate thing. So whenever you talk about taking money from some corporate entity, no one in the corporate entity is going to be happy about it, whether it's a man or a woman, whatever the case may be.
You're saying taking away money. How is this taking – hear me out. How does this take away money from corporate if you're saying you're going to pay something?
So if we have a salary line item over $1 million, and you tell me that, you know, you want to increase the million to $1,500,000, then that is taking away some profit from the corporation or somewhere I could be growing. The money has to come from somewhere that you're proposing that these people are getting paid. So either we're taking it somewhere or we don't have it to give.
First of all, you're saying the money has to come from somewhere. There's a budget that has been allocated already, right? Companies are doing that every single year. In your budget that you've allocated, you allocated to pay him. Let me go back to, I want to be very specific about one of the jobs. Okay, let's take the surgeons, I think was the one. Okay, so physicians and surgeons, men are grossing $243,000, right, annually, whereas women, physicians and surgeons are grossing $171,000. You're saying they're going to have to increase their budget to now match the female salary of $171,000 to the $243,000. I'm saying you don't necessarily have to bring her to $243,000, but you can bring him down so that they're now equally at the same salary. So if you need to keep your budget the way your budget is, then you need to allocate some men's salaries so that they are adjusted to reflect your women. So it doesn't necessarily have to be companies are going to pay more money, so that's not what they're going to want to do because they're going to take a loss. You readjust your budget. Is that not an option?
Well, I don't think so. I think what we're looking at is there are two separate scenarios, and that's why I wanted to know what are these industries that you're talking about. They are going to be those people who've been in practice for an excessive amount of time, probably the times where women weren't necessarily welcome, who are going to be on the higher end of the spectrum, and then you're going to have your new initiates are going to be on the lower end. So what I'm saying is some of these fields that you're describing seem like there were very long-term male-dominated fields for quite some time. So what you're having is those people who are on the higher end who are making substantially more because of their years in the practice and experience versus the neophytes. So say, for instance, if you had a guy who's been a surgeon, you know, since the 80s, you know, he may be making, you know, $1.5 million versus someone else who comes in who may be at that lower $200,000. So that may be what's driving the number for those people that they have their own, you know, medical practices, their own lawyer practices. So, you know, it's quite different for that situation versus just coming in and hiring somebody and paying somebody more. So that's why I need to know specifically what these industries that you're saying. So I think that is also a large contributing factor, is you do have these industries where you have those male baby boomers who traditionally were Caucasian men who've dominated those industries for quite some time and are more in the 90th percentile of that salary matrix, and not the neophytes who may be within their first 5 or 10 years.
I wish I would have taken the time to pull statistics specifically off of women and men who are equally trained, because the examples that you're giving, I agree, if you've been in it longer, then I believe you have earned to have a higher salary. But that's not always the case. We're talking about men and women who are both equally trained, the same amount of years in practice, and yet men are getting paid considerably more. But with that being said, I'm going to go to the phone lines, but we also have some conversations from some of our listeners. So one of our callers said, it just goes back in time where men have always felt that women are less than. I think men have always been intimidated by women. It's just the good old boys club. Earning equality is just another form of discrimination. I agree with that. That's definitely something that I made mention to earlier. Another one of our listeners said, typically, men will apply for a job after only meeting 60% of equal of the qualifications on the job description, while women are more hesitant and will only apply after meeting all 100% of those qualifications, which that in and of itself holds women back from possibly making it, especially in corporate America. And so she made a valid point that, again, here are men getting the same jobs with less qualifications. But I'm going to go to the phone line because we got a caller and we're almost out of time. So I definitely want to get their thoughts. Caller, you're on the air at 404.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Hello.
ATL in the house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yeah, I'll be quick, man. I'll get out of the way. But no, this is not like some kind of budgetary issue. This is basically baked into the cake. When you hire from one data set and let them control all rules, regulations, hiring, firing, and everything else, those people are going to what? Be committed to pushing themselves up. So this is, you know, just another facet of what racism does. Sexism is kind of part and parcel of it. Now,
absolutely.
The point he made though that I do agree with when you kept saying, and men do this. Like we keep saying men. And we're not saying white men, the majority of the shareholders in these companies, the majority of the people doing the hiring. No, I'm just saying it's just something that you kind of got to make it plain. Like in this conversation, it doesn't carry weight unless you say that explicitly, because then you're actually, you know, getting directly to it. Now, the majority of the people who are gonna, you know, be abused by this are women who are working regular 9 to 5s. You know, between minimum wage and so-called working wage hours, those are the women who feel this the most. The women who are, you know, more likely in corporate America, they actually have things they can go to, meaning an HR department that actually advocates for them, being able to see how much their coworkers are working and then are making and then going to make an argument. The women further down the value chain, they have no real way of addressing this. They just kind of have to grin and bear it. And I think you'll see from this movement, the corporate part of this will be addressed, but they will have not much time or energy for the sisters who are going to be out here, who are going to be the majority who are hit with it. And I saw this during the little March for 15 thing they had, where you saw a lot of working class and poor working people, but you did not see the people who actually had, access to the leverage of power. You did not see them participate or comment. And if they did, it sure as hell wasn't in support. But, you know, this is an interesting conversation, man. Salute to both of y'all.
Well, thank you. And, Colin, sorry, we didn't get your name.
Naj.
Naj, thank you for listening, and thank you for that feedback and the comment. And so I'm so glad that he made mention to that, Steve, because remember earlier on I did say white men, and you were like, yeah, it's not white men. I'm like, yeah, they're the dominant culture. So I thank him for that support in that comment. But one of the things, Steve, as we get ready to wrap up is I think it is important for us to think about what needs to happen moving forward. And as he said, because it really is affecting women who are in, you know, hourly jobs, 9 to 5, and literally they're just trying to make it from day to day. And so it really falls upon women of color who have these positions of power and a voice to be more active in moving forward and helping to create change. And not to get complacent with, oh, well, maybe I'm doing well and so it's okay for me, but to really understand that there needs to be a continued fight for fair pay. And that needs to happen at the local, the state, and at the national level. And if one of the areas that they're saying in the literature about why women are not getting paid in some positions the same as men is because of their lack of negotiation skills. Well, women, we need to become better negotiators. We need to go learn from the experts. If we have to go learn from men who are doing it, then so be it. Then that's what we need to be able to do, to use that tactic so that we do have more of a fair chance of getting the salaries that we want. So, Steve, what are your last thoughts for this particular topic?
Hey, I'm going to quote Master P. You know, I'm the owner, so there ain't no salary cap on my dollars. So, you know, if you got some problems with your salary, you need to be an owner, start your own thing. And that's it to me.
I can't stand you. As always, you guys, thank you for joining us for another episode of Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. I look forward to talking to you guys next week. Don't forget to Facebook text, tweet, tell everyone about Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. Steve, you have a great week, and we'll be back next Sunday.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.